Mel, if you would like to come up to the front.
Oh, you wait.
You've got a bungee.
You'll have a bungee.
Oh, heck. Lord help us. Amen.
Amen. You know when you are really out of a time zone and like when you've really travelled somewhere far away, like 4 or 5 hours, and you know that you're jet lagged, but then you go to Central Europe and you're only 1 hour out and you kind of feel slightly confused the whole time, but basically okay. That's the way that I've felt here because of that clock. Because that clock is the main clock that I've seen and it keeps telling me, I've got 1 hour and 3 quarters. We're going to do great. We're going to get so much done and so much time. And then Simon says, and Mel's going to speak briefly. And I'm thinking, briefly? It's 8:15. Anyway, yes. So I'm going to pray, even if Simon's not. Lord, would you help Simon in so many ways? No. Convict him of all the places that he needs. We'll do that later. Lord, I thank you for where the disciples said to you when you revealed yourself to them. Lord, it is late, but would you stay with us a while? And Lord, we ask that. We love the sweetness of your presence in worship. We love to draw near to you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would inhabit your word tonight. Lord, would you be speaking to us to prepare us only to encounter you more? To encounter you more and more, we pray. Lord, thank you for this chance to be together. Thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence. Thank you that it's true that when people gather in your name, you are in the midst of us. And we love it. And we love the sweetness of it. Lord, stay with us a while. Amen. Amen. I wanted to do three things, I think. The first one is to tell you the scripture that I think is a word, I felt is a word for some of you, especially some of the more experienced, maturer members of the community. I think there's a particular word that I think the Lord has over you and over COGS in this season. And then, almost off the back of that, I wanted to tell you about a young man called Sam that who's from our church, and he's travelled with me on the last trip that I've just done. And I want to tell you about something from that trip, and show you a video, because I think that video is a prophetic word as well, and it involves ski jumping. And then to finish, I want us to land in the passage that when I was asking Simon about these 7 markers that how long is this thing?
Sorry. The 7 markers of the 7 values, those things. Pursue and worship, belong and disciple, and enable and go. And almost from him, the whole body joined and held together goes out and does its work, is Ephesians 4:16 in the middle. But the word over the whole of it, this tonal word of flourish, and what does it mean to flourish? And we looked this afternoon about some of the realities of what Jesus talked about, that we were chosen and appointed to go and bear fruit.
but that isn't necessarily an always a productive, easy and success driven process. There's pruning and abiding that goes with it as well. To be appointed to go and bear fruit. And then, as Simon was telling me about flourishing, he said, yes, the vision I have for COGS is it to be like the church in Ezekiel 47. To be like the church in Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47 is the passage that we had at our wedding. It's a reflective passage of Revelation 22 and the River of God. And it's this picture language. I think it is the picture language of the kingdom of God coming in a community and what it looks like to flourish in a community. And I'd like us to walk through that picture and finish by praying it out and acting it out tonight, which is why we need the bungee. Just for Simon. We're going to hang him by his trousers from the, and see what happens. I was just testing your, see how strong they are. Which goes first? So do you want to be face down or face up? Choice is yours. Anyway. He's been saying that for years. The scripture, that the first scripture I wanted to look at is the idea of flourishing in your calling. Flourishing in your calling is from 1 Thessalonians 2. There it is. If there is a passage that I want to, if one of your scriptures is, one of your values is disciple, if there are two chapters that define discipleship to me, it is 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2. They are amazing about how Paul related to this church. What I have in, it is the passage about what I invested in you. You did such an amazing job that your news has even got back to HQ in Jerusalem. You guys are amazing. And we loved you so much, he says, two verses earlier than this. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only the good news of God, but our lives as well. And that's why we looked at flourishing households this afternoon. Because if you're really going to see this vision happen, if you're really going to change people's lives and do discipleship, people want to know that it works. They want to know that you have integrity and are authentic. The phrase that I've heard guys most use is, we want to know if you smoke what you sell. I love that. We know you're selling it, but do you smoke it? Are you smoking what you're selling? In German, that's Rauchen austauschen. I learned when somebody translates, Rauchen austauschen. I like that. Anyway. The idea that you're authentic, that you actually do, I'm not sure you can do this stuff without, to some extent, opening your relationships and your lives and your households. So we love you so much that we shared with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. We can't do this at a distance and be authentic. We can't do this and be connected and relational. And then this is what Paul says. I love his confidence, by the way. We're probably going to pray for this amount of confidence over you. One of the most positive things about living in the States is that lovely inbred confidence that there is in stateside people. And I love, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you. That's not very British, is it, to say that? Well, we were okay. We did all right. You were witness of how holy, how righteous, and how blameless we were among you who believed. For you know how we dealt with you. You observed it. You saw it. And you saw how we were like fathers to dealing with our own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. For you older generation here, I think this is what you're called to. You're called to urge the younger generations to live a life. Ephesians 4:1 says it. I encourage you, I call you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And parents are called to encourage and comfort, yes, but also urge. Come on! Live the life worthy of the calling you've received. Don't miss it. We've got some guys in our church who are Danish, and we got to go back to Copenhagen last month to go and do their baptism back in Copenhagen, and it was the day of the Copenhagen Marathon. And I picked up one of the banners that they had for the marathon, and it every single banner had the map on it of the route, but then it had on it "Komsor," which is "come on." And over this girl getting baptized, we got her whole friends and family to wave this placard and go "Komsor," come on, and it was so strong. And coming back to Bristol and her parents, the one thing they remembered is what have they called their daughter to do? Is, come on! I've urged you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Isn't that awesome? That's what you guys are called to. That you are called to urge the next generations, the parenting generation, the upcoming generation, to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And you're called to do it by encouraging them, comforting them, and urging them. Come on! You can do it. You can do it. I feel like we should pray now for starting for this, but that's the first thing. You got it? So we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for the older generation to get a bit of fire in their belly to do some come on! Come so! That sound right? Okay, building on that, let me tell you about Sam. This is a picture, I hope, of Sam. We got to go to Norway, and near the area that we were, it's beautiful where the fjords are, and Sam climbed up a mountain with a couple of our guys, and he did that. That's a 2,000 meter straight drop from this rock called Pulpit Rock, and he's really sitting on that bit. Sam's parents are also in our church. Yeah, when I was talking to Sam's parents after, now I didn't go up with them up this mountain, but Sam and these other couple of guys did, and afterwards I said to the parents, oh, did you see the pictures? And they went, oh yeah, yeah, we saw the pictures. Oh yeah, they're boys, aren't they? And he went, yeah, they're boys. And I showed him my iPad, I said, that's a one, isn't it? And his dad went, what? And he hadn't seen those pictures. He'd seen more gentle ones. But they just got a little bit, they want to go for it. They're wanting, Sam is a guy who I know in his heart, he's a guy who wants to go for it. He wants to live a life of adventure, plus. he wants to live a life with a bit of excitement, to live the life worthy of the calling he received, and he pushes boundaries. And that's an example of it, yeah? And he's also a really keen skier. His family, since he was young, have gone skiing. And the number, and they got where they used to go with their family is a place in France that they bought somewhere, and they started to do a holiday let thing. And as kids, they would go every year. And then on this ski resort, they built some ramps. And these boys started to get excited about the ramps. And the big thing that Sam wanted to do, because he's go for it, was do a backflip. He'd always wanted to do a backflip. So his brother, Joe, who's the more sensible one, had the video. And they filmed Sam going for it with a backflip. Have you got sound as well? Have you plugged it in? Great. And this is a... It's rather pretty, isn't it? Here he is. He's going for it.
Whoa! Oh, dude. You alright?
Now at that moment, he just said, are you okay? And then he goes, I'm okay. I'm not okay! And then he goes down again. And he'd actually broken his ribs. In that, right there. So his mum, and his mum is this brilliant, lovely, proper mum, basically at that point said, Sam, you are never doing a backflip again. Ever. And then Sam got married 2 years ago. It's like, you're not going to do a backflip. What if you've now got your own business? You've got a wife. What if you can't work? What if you can't work? What if we have to feed you through a tube? You know, what if all of the what ifs of all the problems, all the problems, what if this and what if this? And Sam just looked at his mum and went, with all the family there this year, and went, I know, Mum, that I haven't tried it for 4 years, but what if, you know, what if I fail? What if I do this? What if I do this? But what if I land it? And so he had another go. This is this ski season, so March time of this year.
Oh!
Not that. Whoa! You don't know how proud he came back. His chest was out. There was a confidence about him that was... His mum had just said, what if? And his response had been, but what if I land it? What if I land it? It's brilliant to journey that with this family. Brilliant. Because the mum is actually really, really proud of her boys. And she knew that it was just her fears and her worries about worst case scenarios that was stopping it. But she had a son that could turn to her and say, but what if I go for it and it works? What if I go for it and it works? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received is not to be defined by disappointment. And the easiest thing we can do is define our own experience, our own what we urge, encourage and comfort others towards to the limit of our own disappointment. We can be defined by the disappointment that we've reached. But actually you've got a generation coming after you saying, yeah, but what if I land it? What if we land it? What if we see the kingdom come? It's a good thing to pray for. Because I'm so excited about what the Lord's doing with you. There's a lovely one anothering about you guys. We've done a lot on church being the one another commands. One of my favorite, you know the book The Shack? The consultant guy for that, the pastor of the guy who wrote The Shack. He had a mega church in the States. And church's going great. But then they started to look at the one another statements in the New Testament. There's about 20 of them. I found 23. And they did a small group on these one another's, and what they realized was that if they kept doing the one anothering, that everything they did as mega church stopped them doing the one anothering, and they actually ended up closing down their mega church because we need more time to love one another, comfort one another, be hospitable to one another, to spur one another on to greater deeds, for those we trust to challenge one another, to confess our sins to one another, that we would be healed. And I tell you, there's a lovely sense of, as one anothering is something really big on my heart, there's a lovely sense of one anothering amongst you, which makes me think you've got loads of potential. But your potential is actually if you're going to urge the next generation, the upcoming parental generation and the kids that they're bringing to the table to live a life worthy of the calling they've received, it's going to be even more than you've seen yet. It's going to be flourishing more than you've seen. So are you going to call people to what's been to the level of your greatest success or your greatest disappointment? And beyond that, if the kids are saying, what if I land it? Well, I'm wary then. Or are you going to be more defined by the vision of the kingdom that God gives you of flourishing? Which is what Ezekiel 47 is. So can you, if you have it in your Bibles, can you turn to me with it? Ezekiel 47. Can we start with, this is the verses that Simon, I think, did when he introduced the value of flourishing. That this is the picture at the end of the river. And the picture at the end of the river is fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. In some translations, it actually says every kind of fish will be there, not just many kinds. Every kind of fish. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. What's the vision of a flourishing church? Is that a people of God who are in season all the time, who feed their community, that their leaves, their hands, are the hands of healing of their community, and their fruit feed people every month. That they feed every month. But what it says is, they don't, every month they continue to bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. And that's what I want to just walk you through quickly. And then we're going to pray through together this picture language of where does this come from? Which is, it starts in verse 1. So can we go to verse 1? So the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. So obviously, Simon, you're the man. You're the man. You're the bungee man. Come on. So the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. So this is the entrance of the temple. Yeah. Would you agree? Yeah. And you see water coming out from the threshold of the temple. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because the temple flows east. And the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple. And we've noticed the water is flowing out from under the south side. Yeah? He then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. Well, why is that important? Keep going to the next bit. And then the water turns from being south and starts to flow east. This is east for the, not literally, but in terms of, I'm marking out this story. Point is, the reason he was showing him around the temple was to show where the water flowed from. And the water flowed from the middle of the temple. The water flowed from the process would have been in the temple that people would have made their sacrifice. They would have made their sacrifice, and then from out of the place of sacrifice, they would have got right with God, and then they would have gone out through the gate at the other end. Yeah? But from out from under the altar where they made their sacrifice, the river of life starts to flow. Now I want to suggest to you that the first thing that a move of God starts with is sacrifice. That it starts with sacrifice. We've just done we're working with a church plant where the leaders were living in another town, and they hadn't moved into that community. And they said, we want to see growth. And but the guys on one level saying, we know you love us enough to share the good news of the kingdom with us, but you're not sharing your lives as well. And then they said, yeah, but we'd have to leave our house, and we love our house, and our kids are settled in schools, and blah, 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 blah. But we talked about the idea of, in a cooked breakfast, a chicken is involved, but a pig is committed. and people want to know that you're a pig, not a chicken. Do you get what I mean? A chicken is involved. A pig is committed to your cooked breakfast. The pig did sacrifice. Yeah? You know that pig sacrificed for your cooked breakfast. Yeah? Do you get it? Since those guys said, okay, we know that we've been acting like chickens, providing eggs, we haven't made bacon. So they sold their house, they moved their kids, and they moved into that community. Their church is the fastest growing church plant I think I've ever seen. They've got 65 on their alpha course this term. 65. Because I work with them, I get their news sheet. They're doing 5 baptisms this weekend. If you measure success not by attendance but by number of baptisms, which I think is a great way to measure success, I don't know a more successful church punching at, they're about 250, 300 people now in 3 years. It's not bad going, is it? Because they sacrificed. Because they started to become pigs. Yeah? Then the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand and he measures it off. Stick in your jeans. Go on, measure it off. That's it. Stop. That's way far enough. And then we walked across the river. We walked across the river. I'm going to leave this.
So he walked across the river. Yeah? And it was ankle deep.
Yeah.
Yeah? And then he missed off another 1,000. Go another 1,000. How deep is it?
Knee deep.
And then he measured off another 1,000. How deep is it now?
Waist.
Yeah. Keep going. Then he measured off another 1,000. How deep is it now?
You're going to have to stop soon to swim.
You're going to have a choice. How deep have you gone? What's his name? What's his name? Yeah. It was now a river that you could not cross. Do you see, there's a brilliant song by the Waterboys that I think is this. About this. That your love runs from like a river runs to the sea. And the coming river of God is knee deep, and then ankle deep, and then waist deep. I'm like, come on, Lord, you're doing more. But then there comes a point where you can't be at the side anymore. No. There comes the point where you can't be at the side anymore. You've either got to jump in and go with it, yeah, and be taken by the current, or you stay on the side and be a spectator. Do you get it? So at this point, Simon, are you going to jump in?
Always.
Great. Take it off. Okay. Then at this point, there's something even scarier.
Okay.
At this point, actually, there's the greatest. What you don't know is that just here is the Arabah. What here is the Arabah? Do you know what the Arabah is? For the health and safety reasons, this has just become the, this one's become the Arabah. So we're still just here, yeah? But this is a mock-up of this. Yeah? Right there. So this is the Arabah.
I have no idea what's going on.
That's what I'm writing out. So the river of God flows from the temple. It goes ankle deep. It goes knee deep. It goes waist deep. It goes to the point you can't cross. But directly after that, it says, when I got there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Do you know what trees are in the Old Testament? Trees are people. Yeah? Trees are people. A planting of the Lord, the display of his splendor, is people. Think of it. Isaiah 61. You are oaks of righteousness. In fact, it's those you will invest in will be called oaks of righteousness. It's not even you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you to make others to be called oaks of righteousness who aren't yet Christians, was the thought. Yeah? They're trees. By the side of the river at this point, there will be trees everywhere. Yeah? There will be trees. But he measured it off another 1,000. There was a river that I could not cross. There will be rivers everywhere. And he said, this water flows to the deepest place in the world. This flows into the Dead Sea. This flows into the part of the world that is no part of the world that is deeper than that. And that is the waterfall that you have to go over to get there. You ready to go over the waterfall? Because basically, Simon, there comes a point where it's gone knee deep, it's gone ankle deep, it's gone pretty deep.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where you get to a point where you know you've got to commit.
Oh! Yay!
But you might be nervous.
You
might be nervous. You get to pay for that shit. You actually land this. There comes a point where you can't just stay on the sides. It says that you have to get into the water and go, because you're going to be taken over something scary. But at that point, it says where it empties into the what we know as the Dead Sea. The most salty place in the world, where you have your picture taken, reading the newspaper, pussy floats, yeah? That becomes...
Now, I need your turn, thank you very much. That becomes... it says that the Dead Sea, the saltiest, most dead thing on the planet, when the river of God comes, everything there becomes fresh. There will be large numbers of fish of every kind, and they make the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. This is the picture of the kingdom of God coming. This is the picture of what it is to flourish. And then where we were, where we started. Where the water flows from the temple, there will be fishermen of every kind to fish, every kind of fish. Guys from Adventure Plus who were saying, guys, people are coming from every community to us to be able to fish them. It's brilliant. You've got fishermen in your midst coming to fish every kind of fish. There will be trees that were people who were there for healing. The counselors, the pastors, the lovers whose hands are for healing. Whose hands are for healing. And there are those who will fruit every month. And why do they fruit? Because they stay connected to the place of worship and sacrifice in the temple. They stay connected to the presence of God so that they are fruitful every season. This is the vision of flourishing. If your vision of flourishing is this level, not your own level of disappointment, you are calling the next generations to this. Do you get it? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Should we start to pray for each other? Okay, do you want to say that? And then...
Folks, we are going to pray for each other, but I am aware that our kids team have gone beyond their half nine. That clock is confusing. Their half nine time. So Mal's working on it, still only quarter to nine. So if the kids team could, if your children are being looked after, if you could go and retrieve them from the kids team, if you would like to come back for prayer, or we'll pray for you tomorrow, we will pray for you, you can bring them back, we'll pray, but I think it is important that we do relieve the children's team. So if you do have children who are being looked after, please, if you can, relieve them and then come back. Mal, lead us in prayer.
I'd like to pray first for that older generation, the fathering, parenting, releasing generation. If you know that is you, can you stand? And then we'll pray for you. Brilliant. I honestly think this is where it starts, you know? This is where it starts. And I think it's okay for tonight to say, actually, the other generations are going to get the benefit from you. So you need it first. So, other guys, would you like to pick on somebody and start to pray for them? But let's just ask the Holy Spirit to just find somebody that you just would love to bless now. And then let's just start to pray. Holy Spirit, we pray for this generation now. Lord, we know your word says, don't let many call yourself fathers, that there aren't many fathers. But we know that we are in a generation that turns, that is desperately in need of spiritual parents, physical and spiritual parents. And Lord, we pray that you would release the wisdom, the power, the depth of parents, spiritual parenting, to comfort, encourage, and urge the next generations to live a life worthy of the calling they've received. And we just pray an impartation of that over you right now. And we urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. We want to speak to the places of disappointment, the some of the wounds and the things that you carry. And we ask that God's healing balm over you in those places, that you would call people not to be defined by disappointment or fear or comfort, but to bless them into the what if they land it? What if they land it for the kingdom of God? And to put before them a vision of flourishing that is true to scripture and true to this word. I pray for a gift of faith to be imparted to you guys now. A gift of faith to believe on what the Lord can do. To believe on what the river of God can look like. Lord, would you come do it? More of you. More of you. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I just feel for a number of you, you need to hear, it was great to, in the parable of the sower, where it says that when the seed is in good soil, the harvest is 30, 60, or 100 times that which was planted. I think some of you need to start asking for your harvest. That God has put good soil in you and has fertilized it at times. But actually that's what makes it good soil. And that to almost ask for the harvest, for some of you it's actually there's a call to a harvest, not just 30, not just 60, but 100 times what you've sown. 100 times. And actually you're praying, Lord, would you show me the 100 people? Would you show me the 100 people who are going to one day say, I released them into their calling. I affirmed them in their calling. And if you know that that's, you know, cry out to the harvest that the Lord wants for you. Ask him just to speak to you, show you who the people are and what you're supposed to do. Come by your Spirit now and do it, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Some of you are teaching the prayer places. Some of you are teaching the what it is to draw intimately to the Father. I'd love you to just keep receiving. Keep receiving. I think there's two other, just keep receiving. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. That you are tarrying with us. That there's a, I think we need to pray for two groups. And one is those who know that what you're called to do is be those who receive, who fruit every month in season because they've stayed connected to the temple. Yeah? And I think some of you are actually, you know that you're called to be somebody who carries fruit. That it's the fruit of the word of God. It's the fruit of the ability for people to have something to eat on, to chew on. And I think the others of you is, I know I'm called to healing, and I would love my hands to be prayed for to release healing. To release healing. Yeah? And what I'd love us to do is to go in three different directions as we do this. One is to just pray for each other where we are and to pray release. But then if you know that actually I need to be continuing to receive from the temple. I need to be continuing to receive from the places of Jesus' sacrifice. Because I think some of you have mentored without ever asking, how are you doing with Jesus? The questions that are the spiritual internal questions. You can ask how you're doing, what's going on in life that's getting your attention. But the questions that are real fruit are the questions of how can I feed you on the Word of God? How can I feed you about Jesus? And I think there's something about actually coming to the place of where the temple is, where the river flows from, and say, Jesus, I just want fresh impartation of your fruit. I want the river to flow to me where I am, that I am able to feed people every month. And Simon and Sue, I'd love you to come and be here, just blessing people as they come to the place of the temple and receive from the river. Yeah? And then the other is, if it's the promises, the trees will be people who are, their leaves are for healing. Yeah? If you know that God has called you to be somebody who brings healing to people, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I'd love you to go to the back and the place of where the river flows to. And Chriselle, who I love her hands for healing, and I will be there, and we'd love to just pray for your hands. Does that make sense? So what we'd love to do is to almost act out the picture of this thing. To pray for the people where you are, bless them, and then go on a journey from the river. Go to the place of the temple. Consider fresh before the Lord what you need to sacrifice. Be prayed for fruit, and then walk the walk of, Lord, I want to see your kingdom come ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, to where it cannot cross. And then, Lord, would you do these things of the great commitment that we then see these things happen? And we'd love to pray for you, for those of you who want hands that are leaves of healing. Does that sound okay? So this is almost like a little spiritual walkthrough with the Holy Spirit alongside you. So let's do that when you're ready.